Talk, Bart Cobb Radio.
So this weird thing happened. This is a true story. This is very strange. I live in Los Angeles now, and I was reading in the paper about this woman who lives in Mexico, and on the third Sunday of every month, she goes out to the Mojave Desert. She has all these followers, and she goes out there, and sometimes the Virgin Mary appears to her. And you know, and I read this and I thought, oh, this would be cool. This would be great to hang out, you know, and people watch and stuff. So I went down, and this is true. I went down, and she's out there in the middle of the desert, and she's got these, you know, flowing robes and everything, and she's up on this platform, and she's facing out this way, and all these families are gathered, hundreds of people looking up at her, and she's up there, she's waiting. Make a long story short, it becomes clear that the Virgin Mary isn't appearing today, you know. I think she had to be on a tortilla somewhere. So she's booked. All right. But anyway, so she announces, you know, that they're not coming, and then she's not coming. So everybody gets, you know, goes to leave. And I'm hanging out, playing around in the desert. It's beautiful. And then everyone's gone. I'm by myself. And I go start walking back to my car, which is like 100 yards away. And I don't get... Maybe I get 10 feet, and the Virgin Mary appeared before me, and she raped me. Running back to my car, and I had my pants turned around my ankles, and she kept making fun of me and like flicking me in the back of the ear, and then I got in the car, and I went to the cops, you know, and the cops were jerks, you know, and I told them what happened, and they were just like, well, what were you wearing, you know? I mean, you dress like that, it looks like you want it, you know. A muscle tee and those short shorts? I mean, she's a virgin. Think about it.
Wednesday's page, a fellow wrote this letter asking a few questions. I thought the questions were so good, I wanted to answer them on the radio because it's going to take some time, and I didn't want to put it as a separate page with a link because I know how difficult it is for some of you clicking. I didn't want to put it on the main page because it would just be too big, too long, and I know some of you have a problem with scrolling, so I thought I'd give it to you in the radio. Subject, you are a liberal? Bart, I enjoy reading your site and find many of your comments assist me with analyzing the current right turn in American politics. With regard to your own positions, I'm beginning to question your true liberal, parentheses, perhaps progressive fits better, credentials. I found the following 3 points that you have taken recently surprising for a progressive thinker. Okay, number one, there might be a mistaken assumption out there that I am, oh, not Mr. Liberal, but way liberal. And I'm not, never have been, never meant to imply that I was, and I haven't changed. I've always, since before you met me, I've been semi-pro-military, and, you know, my views have always been my views. I have changed very little, I think, over time. So it shouldn't shock anyone to think I'm not 100%. From the earliest issues, I've talked about I have a gun, I carry a gun, I don't carry it with me constantly. I got a couple or so in the house. I kept one in my desk at work. I keep one in my car. I mean, if danger erupts, I don't want to be the idiot that brought a knife to a gunfight. So, yeah, there's lots of things on which I am not Mr. Liberal. Don't you think too liberal can be a bad thing? And before you say, oh, gee, Bart, I'm canceling my subscription. I hate you. Anything. You can be too much of anything. You can be too generous. You can be too nice. Do you remember, almost 40 years ago, there was a show on TV called the Gomer Pyle Show. No, it was Gomer Pyle USMC because he joined the Marines. And Gomer Pyle had a girlfriend. I think her name was Luann, maybe Luann Poovey. But anyway, the two of them were too nice. Gomer would say, Luann, where would you like to go eat dinner? And she'd say, I don't know, wherever you want to go. And he said, well, I don't care. I want to go wherever you want to go. And she said, well, you want to go here? Well, I'll go there if you want to go there. And he said, well, I'll go there if you want to go. And they would go for hours like that, both of them trying so hard to be so damn nice that they never ate. That, you know, the camera would, the scene would cut away and they'd come back to him 3-4 days later. Oh, well, if that's what you want to do, well, no, if that's what you want to do. So just a dumb example of how you can be too nice. Damn it, at some point someone has to say, I'm hungry, let's eat here, damn it. So it shouldn't shock anyone. Too liberal, it just creates like being too far right. Not exactly, but you know what I'm saying. You don't want to be the most liberal person in the world. Okay, now let's get specific. You seem to believe that some level of torture was acceptable during comments in the past year. I think we got tense trouble with that sentence. How can any human being justify in any way the torture of another? No truly moral person, well, that surely excludes me, or great leader, which also excludes me, would ever espouse any form of torture against any other human ever. Well, now you can't say that. You can't ever say ever. There are times when killing someone is the right thing to do. If I got a 6-year-old daughter in the other room, and some linebacker type has just knocked me on the floor and broke my jaw, broke my leg, whatever, and I can reach a gun, I'm going to shoot the son of a bitch. And, yeah, murder is wrong, but, hey, I'm not going to let him do shit to my daughter. So, yeah, you can't say ever. Talk about no, you can't ever torture anybody ever. Well, let me finish the letter. By appearing to suggest that any torture is ever acceptable, you have joined the ranks of Hannity, O'Reilly, and Savage. Do you really believe this position and wish to be associated with these thugs on this issue, or were you just debating the point to do so? Well, I think a rainbow has many colors in it, and you can say that I'm in bed with Hannity and O'Reilly and Savage, but first you would have to quote me correctly. I did not say, well, whatever you said. There's the old trick where when a reporter asks you a question, you can't answer yes or no, because then you're married to any words he used. So what I'll say, I did not say torture was fine. Now, if you say torture is always wrong in every instance forever, I disagree with that. A, because you can't ever say, as I've explained before, you can't say something is always wrong because, you know, the old trick, your kid falls in a river and the sign says no swimming, you're going in after your kid, right? Okay, so there are exceptions. I am obviously against torturing a suspect to see what comes up. That's what Bush and O'Reilly and Hannity and those others, that's what they're doing right now. We found a goat herder in Afghanistan, so we're going to fly him to Cuba and stick cattle prods up his ass and torture him until he tells us if he knows something. Well, I don't think that's right. I don't think anybody thinks that's right who is sane, which excludes the current Bush administration and most of his appeasers. The example that came up, the reason I came out pro-torture, to use your terms, whatever, is I said, it had to do with time and certainty. If you know for a fact, and I'm not talking about a Bush fact, I'm talking about a fact. If you know for a fact that someone is going to hijack an airplane tomorrow and fly it into a skyscraper somewhere in America, if you know that for a fact, now see, that counts. You can't say, gee, I heard a rumor, or what if my cousin knew a guy? No, see, it's not like that. We're talking about a fact, and we're talking about tomorrow. I'm not talking about a guy I knew at flight school. He seemed more interested in flying the plane than landing it. Well, now, you don't go torture that guy. I'm talking about if you know for a fact that they're going to steal this airplane and fly it into a busy skyscraper one afternoon. Yes, in that instance, I condone the torture. Because as horrible as torturing that man is, the destruction of whatever 3,000 people is so much more worse. I don't see how you can debate that. I know there some people will. I know there are people that will say, I don't care if he's going to blow up atomic weapons in New York, L.A., and Chicago in the same minute. You never torture. Well, that's stupidity. Now you're talking about 30, 40 million people that you're going to sacrifice for a principle? That's just idiotic. You can't do that. And what I meant by the colors of the rainbow, you have to take that seriously. Now, there will be people who just listen to that explanation and leave with, Bart is pro-torture. And I'm not. That's crazy. But the thing is, in that example, if you can save, in the extreme example, if you can save 30 or 40 million lives by cutting a guy's finger off and telling him he's got 9 to go, you would put the lives of that guy, of the certain guilty. Remember, we talk about a fact. We know for a fact. We don't suspect this guy might be associated. No, we know for a fact. At that point, sure. I say, start with the fingers, go to the toes, go to 21 if you have to. You know, and if he just refuses to speak, hey, you did all you could. You tried to save those people's lives, but it just didn't work. So in wrap-up of the first of three questions, you can't ever say it's always wrong in every circumstance. You just can't do that. Whenever you say ever and always, you pretty much got a guarantee that you got a false question. And number two, I am not the same as O'Reilly, Hannity, and Savage because I don't believe in torturing a suspect. If you got a guy for a fact that's guilty and you're going to save thousands or millions of lives by putting them through a little bit of torture, and I'll say this is not Gitmo, this is not 3,000 people, and who knows, and if you can break one, maybe he'll squeal on another guy. We're talking about saving thousands or millions of lives. At that point, I say yes to torture. Number two. You seem to think that soldiers who are participating in an illegal war, Iraq, are themselves completely blameless. Now, excuse me, but there you go again. You can't put the word completely in there. You can put the word relatively, perhaps, in there. I think they are relatively blameless. Oh, let me finish with the question. If the soldiers in the military had the moral courage to refuse to fight in a war, there would be no war. It is really a very simple concept. I'm surprised that someone as intelligent as you failed to see the point. Okay, let's do the sentence by sentence. You clearly seem to think that soldiers who are participating in illegal war are themselves completely blameless. I read a story just this morning, the trial of some soldiers that allegedly threw two Iraqi men off a bridge into a river. Apparently one of the men drowned, the other man swam to shore and went and told a story, and now he's testifying at the trial, something like that. Yes, clearly it is wrong to throw the men off the bridge. Depending on the circumstances, that could easily be murder. I mean, if they said, I'm bored, let's grab a couple of prisoners and throw them off the bridge, yeah, now you got a pretty good case for murder. I don't know the circumstances, but I do know that if those men weren't in Iraq, they would not have thrown the man off the bridge in Iraq. When you put men in an impossible situation, they're going to do things that are wrong, they're going to do things that are crazy. You remember the John Kerry stories about, you know, the ears cut off and heads cut off and genitals cut off and all that he witnessed in Vietnam. Well, that's not what normal people do. That's what people do who have been in a jungle for a year being shot at and who lose a big measure of their sanity. They are in post-traumatic stress, or I guess they're in traumatic stress at the time, and a man will do crazy things when he's put in a crazy situation. I'm not justifying it. I'm just saying the fellow, yes, some of them certainly are guilty. But my problem was when people say the soldiers are guilty. That brush is too wide. You can't do that. You can't say the soldiers are bad, the soldiers are evil. You can say some are. You can say atrocities are being committed. Yes, I agree. You can say people are being senselessly slaughtered. I certainly agree. This is Bob in San Diego. My biggest problem, Bob, you can't use that broader brush. You can't say torture is always wrong in every situation, and you can't say the soldiers are completely blameless, and I've never taken either of those two positions. You say if the soldiers in the military had more moral courage to refuse to fight in this war, there would be no war. Well, what if they had the moral courage not to fight in World War II? We would probably be speaking German or Japanese. They had the moral courage to refuse to fight World War II. You might have a case for people who signed up when Bush and Gonzalez came out and said, we're going to use torture in this war, and some people said, hey, sign me up. I want to go get me some sand niggers. Well, yeah, now you got a problem guy on your hand. He's probably insane before he was put in the insane situation, so things can only get worse. Someone asked about the heroes thing again. And I think in general there's two kinds of people in Iraq. One is the guy, maybe there's three. Well, let's say there's two and then there's the crazies. But of the two, there's the people who had to sign up because they couldn't get a job, they couldn't get insurance, they had no choice. They're from a slum. The most money they ever made in 1 year is $8,000-$9,000. Then his girlfriend got pregnant, so they got married. Now they got kids on the way. The cost of the birth is going to break him. Whatever. Some people are in such a bad position that joining the reserves of the Army, whatever, is a step up for them. When those people are put in a war zone, I feel extra bad for them. The other kind of guy is the guy who feels obliged to serve his country. I don't know how you can say that. That idea or that concept is a bad thing. We would never have met Bill Clinton if he didn't feel some pull towards public service. A guy as sharp as Clinton, he surely would have been a multimillionaire had he been in the private sector. With his charm, with his memory, with his ability to persuade people, he could have been CEO of, you know, pretty much any, he could be, hell, he worked his way to the presidency. It wasn't handed to him by his rich daddy from the CIA. So if he can work his way to the presidency, he could probably work his way to the presidency of General Motors. So, yeah, for him to feel the call to public service and sacrificing a lot of millions of dollars to do that, he can't say that's a bad thing. So the guys who volunteer to help their country by joining the armed services, you can't automatically say that's a bad thing. Do some crazies do it? Yes. And everybody knows this is true. The kids that wanted to be a hall monitor real bad in grade school, you know, and they grew up to be cops because they enjoy keeping people in line. Yes, you got to worry about those people. The armed service probably has a higher percentage, or almost certainly has a higher percentage of those people than another industry. As far as the soldiers, why can't we as sensible adults agree that abuses are happening, some are bad, et cetera, et cetera. But to say, you know, this, I spit on the soldiers' attitude. I didn't say Bob from San Diego said that. I'm saying there are a lot of you, I don't know how many of you, are, people who hate the military probably don't like BartCobb.com enough to subscribe, so this is probably not reaching any of those ears. The spit on the soldiers' mentality doesn't make a lot of sense to me. It's hard for me to disassociate soldiers with cops. You can hate cops, sure. There are some bad cops. There are cops who get out of line. There are cops who abuse authority, etc., etc. What's it like to be sitting in your car and all of a sudden you get a call? There's a gunfight has broken out in the worst part of town, and you're the closest guy to it. You're the first guy there. They did a homicide episode years ago about that. This guy who is close to retirement. He was an older guy, out of shape, overweight. He's going to retire in a couple of weeks or a couple of months, and he gets a call that there's, you know, a gang war has suddenly broken out in the worst housing project in Baltimore, and he was the closest guy there, and he's by himself. Well, bottom line, he held back from jumping right in. You know, he's going to be the only white guy, whatever, for, you know, in the building. It was like a 12-story building. Plus, he was a detective in plain clothes. So he's a white guy alone amidst this civil war that the two black gangs had, and he failed to run in there. Now, a soldier really doesn't have that option. When a soldier's told, charge that machine gun or take that hill or whatever a soldier's told to do, the guy that volunteers up front to follow orders, Jesus, how can you hate that guy? I don't see it. When the call comes that the gang war's broken out, they don't call Bart because my name's not on the list to run into the gunfire when the crazies go crazy. And so the people who agree to put their names on that list, and you won't even grant them the status of the word hero. To the spit on the soldiers people, I guess to be a hero, you have to have third-degree burns on your face and arms because you ran into the burning building and pulled out the children. I guess that's the only way you can be a hero to the spit on the soldiers people. I fail to understand that. And also, in a whole different twist on this, in a way, I see the soldiers as a team. I'm recording this Thursday. Last night, the Trojans beat my Sooners by 40 points or something. There are certainly, I imagine there were Trojans that did not get to play. Statistically, there probably had to be one or two. I assume the backup quarterback, whatever. But do they not deserve some of the glory, too? They were on the championship team. In that kind of context, is not every soldier a hero because you were on the team that agreed to get shot at and to stay away from your family for a year and a half and to live in a hellhole in Iraq with, you know, cockroaches the size of pigeons over there, to live that way, you know, for months and months at a time because you feel strongly about defending your country, and you won't even grant the guy a little bit of I mean, does it cost you something to say he's a hero? You know, if they said, hero tax, give me $20, I can understand that you don't want to, you know, shell out $20 every time someone says the word soldier. I get that. But to object to the word hero being applied to a guy whose story you don't know, I mean, I understand to some degree, but apparently some people have an interest in rejecting that, and I guess I understand that too. All I'm asking, don't object that loudly. If I'm not willing to die for my country, I'm willing to be nice to the guy that is. You can raise my taxes to pay for the people who want to run into, you know, the fellow that's going to charge the machine gun. Yes, here's $20. I'll give that to you. In closing, he says, it is really a very simple concept, and I'm surprised that someone as intelligent as you fails to see the point. Well, Bob in San Diego, the word completely, I think, is standing between us. The word completely is a wall that you're on one side of and I'm on the other. If you were to say, Bart, are all soldiers necessarily guilty because they were ordered to Iraq? Well, see, now doesn't that sound like an extreme position? Somewhere between those two positions is where I'm at. You can't have 150,000 people completely blameless. That's not possible. And again, I'm not accusing Bob of this, but the spit on the soldiers crowd, you concern me. You've never seen an enemy tank roll down your street in San Diego, Bob. I promise you, I've never seen that. And the reason you have never seen that is because nobody would dare do that because the United States military is standing in the way. I don't think one should be so eager to blame the soldiers, to call all the soldiers guilty, because we know there are abuses of some. Oh, geez. Number three is the piss Christ again. You fail to understand the significance of piss Christ. That is a fact. That is a bona fide fact. I do fail to understand that significance. I love Kid Rock's song where he has the line, the second coming of Christ, he's got himself in a jar. The kid clearly understood that this was not art, but social commentary. Well, I understand that, because it's damn sure not art. The social commentary is clearly an affront to the religious right in our society, and I find it interesting. Don't you find it ironic that I, Bart Kopp, am defending the crucifix? Doesn't that strike you a little strange? I have very little use for religious hokism. I have very little use for religion and the charade that I think surrounds it. And so I'm not really defending the crucifix. I'm defending the people who believe so strongly in the crucifix and God and their religion. I just don't think, what point is it to mock someone else's strong belief? Let me finish with the guy's letter. The social commentary is clearly an affront to the religious right in our society. I find it interesting that in many of your rants, you criticize the Democrats for not fighting the Republicans, but then object to an artist who had the courage to take on the right wing per force, not sure what that means, with no fear. I guess you see piss Christ as some courageous thing. Oh, interesting. The guy who charges the machine gun is not courageous. The guy who puts the crucifix in urine is courageous. Interesting. As I said in the Thursday issue, I must be the world's worst communicator because I don't give a shit about piss art. I just don't care. But the vehemence by which people argue for the crucifix urine thing, it kills me. That's what's, to some degree, killing us at the ballot box. Why would you climb a tree and defend urine art rather than just stay on the ground and say, oh, I don't like that. It's not my cup of tea, so to speak. People say, why are you fighting so hard against this? You know, who cares, basically? Well, I want to get off of this subject. I've been wanting to get off of it since we got on it. I thought I'd get a letter or two saying, you know, people explaining things to me. Fine. You have your opinion. I have mine. What I'm talking about is, out of 100 votes, what if we lose 2 or 3 because we're the party of urine? See, what does that get us? It loses us. In the last election, there was maybe 100 million votes cast. If my wild figure, 3% of the people, their vote might swing on the Democrats being the weirdo party. And I'm not saying we have to sell out all our beliefs. I'm saying, why are we married to the urine art? There's just nothing in it for us. We can pat ourselves on the back about how enlightened we are as we lose the election. Would we rather lose the election and be right, or would we rather back off a little bit on the urine and the feces? Remember, the other one was some guy said I was as right-wing reactionary as Rudy in New York for whining about the cow dung painting. Well, the mother of Jesus doesn't mean a whole lot to me. But when you make a picture, I don't even know what it was, a sculpture or whatever, of the mother of Christ out of elephant shit, how insulting to the guy who didn't do anything to you. Yes, the religious right are a bunch of weirdos who are too insistent that they're right and all that, but think about the 90% that aren't the crazies. Why insult them? Because they have a belief that I believe is irrational, but why insult them? A, why insult them? B, why insult them as they're about to walk into the voting booth? I sure don't see a reason for that. So, crowd does a wave, as Bart sums it up. Torture is almost always wrong. If someone grabbed your kid and said, I'm not going to tell you. He looks at his watch. They're going to murder your kid in 30 minutes, and I ain't going to tell you where. He's less than a mile from here. Say you're in a big city. He's less than a mile from here. You can walk there in 5 minutes, and they're going to kill your kid in an hour. But I'm not going to tell you where your kid is. Oh, yeah? Guess what, Charlie? You're going to talk. And we're talking about saving the life of your child here. I'm not talking about what if you want to know where the, you know, where the sweaters are on sale, so you torture a guy. No, I'm talking about he's got your kid. He's laughing about the fact that your kid's going to be dead in an hour, and he's sitting there giggling at you. You don't think torture is applicable in that case? I do. I'm not an extremist. I am a realist. Oh, I can hear you now. Oh, Bart, I would never torture anybody. I don't care. You kill my parents. You can kill my kids. You can kill my wife. You can kill anybody. I don't care. I would never do torture of any kind for even 5 minutes. No, I don't believe you. I believe you're lying to yourself. I believe that's a big, big crime, lying to yourself. You know, we got the Israel, we got the soldiers, you know, this piss Christ. What was the other one? We went through one lately that just went on and on and on. Oh, Pat Tillman. Well, that's part of the soldier deal, but, you know, guy gives up his millions of dollars and his life of luxury, and he walks down the street and goes, yay, there's Pat Tillman, how you doing? You know, crowds, little kids all form around him. He gave up a lifetime of that to go to Afghanistan to avenge 9/11, and people call him a sap. Oh, you just don't want to do that when you're with me in person. And lastly, the piss Christ, yeah, like I say, there are a couple of things maybe we should just agree that we disagree on. It's alarming to not have a job and come in the morning and click on the PayPal thing and see this row of where it says so-and-so has canceled his subscription. And most people when they cancel, they don't say why, but when that many cancel in one day, all I can do is go look at the previous page and think, oh, that must be the reason. I have had a couple of people cancel and say, Bart, I'm out of here and here's why. The last one I wrote back and say, well, you're saying this, and I don't agree. I said, why would you say that? And he wrote back, oh, you dumb son of a, you know, and I just said, hey, have a nice day. Sorry it didn't work out. It's odd for someone to subscribe for a year, 2 years, 3 years, and then you see one sentence that you misunderstand in many cases. I'll stand by anything I said if I misspoke or wrote the wrong thing or just wrote it drunk and didn't catch it. I'll take responsibility for it, but it just kills me. I can't imagine why somebody would read 1,000 issues and then see a sentence or a paragraph that you may or may not understand and write Bart a nasty fuck you letter. Now, how does that work? And when you sit down and you see this list of unsubscribes, you think, oh, Christ, I better not say that again. You know, I can't talk about this, can't talk about that, can't talk about this, can't talk about that. Pretty soon I got nothing to talk about. And who wants to subscribe to a guy who's afraid to speak? I'm not trying to be a whore and say all the things that you want to hear. I'm saying what I think. If you want to disagree, fine. That's what I like to do most, debate the issues. You think the line should be at 80? I think the line should be at 60. Well, hey, let's argue. Maybe we can agree on 70. You know, that's what politics is all about, in my opinion. It just amazes me because anytime you cancel, on the cancellation button, it says when you signed up. And it's weird to see members since June 2002, and then you get a nasty fuck you letter from a guy because he read a sentence he didn't like. Bob in San Diego, great questions. I wish I had more questions like yours. And it helped me to get a radio bit out of the way. Thanks.
Enfranchisement, the right to vote. Justice, fair play, the rule of law. Don't you remember those moral cretins marched across from the House to the Senate to impeach Bill Clinton because he lied about a BJ with his girlfriend? And they chanting. You could hear them. Rule of law, rule of law, ooga booga, rule of law, mooga 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 mooga, rule of law, ooga booga, rule of law. Remember that? One of us, ooga booga booga booga, rule of law, we are freaks, ooga booga, one of us, rule of law, ooga booga, ooga booga, ooga booga 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 booga. Remember that? Do you? Of course you do. Of course you remember that. Henry Hyde and Bob Barr. Ooga booga, ooga booga, rule of law. Ooga booga, ooga booga, rule of law. One of us. We are freaks. Ooga booga, ooga booga. So now the rule of law is to be cast aside. Why? Because it's inconvenient. Rule of law, my ass.
Don't touch that dial. Though you don't have a dial because you're probably listening to this on the computer.